Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Boiler Up Down South. This is the pre-Michigan edition. My name is Drew Schneider. I'm live here in the studio slash guest bedroom of, in Athens, Georgia. Another beautiful day down south. Leaves are changing.
Finally.
Highs in the, mid, upper 50s. Lows touching the 30s at night. Oh, beautiful. And of course, I'm here with my buddy Garrett Shearman. Garrett, say what's up.
Hello, everyone. I'm wearing a Canadian tuxedo to celebrate the fact that it's finally actually a changing of the season.
And indeed. And what better way to talk about Michigan football than wearing a Canadian tuxedo?
They're basically Canada.
I mean, honestly, yes. I don't know. Garrett, I do have a question for you, though, before we go to our normal commercial break.
Before we have to pay the bills, what is that?
So, the current DraftKings spread for this game is Purdue plus 32.5.
Good lord.
What is the largest upset? So, talking about the team that overcame the largest spread to actually beat Michigan.
Well, it had to be App State. Like, I was in middle school for that game, but it had to be Appalachian State, right?
Correct. Do you know what the spread was in that game, though?
Low 30s. I'm going to say, like, 32.5.
Incorrect. No. It was 33. Purdue is, if they pull off the upset, it will not be a historic upset. Due to the, an FCS team.
Well, so close yet so far.
So close. But I still think there's a lot to play for, other than a historic upset. So we're going to go ahead and, like Garrett said, pay a few bills. And we'll be back with you right after the break. And we're back. Garrett.
Yes, Drew.
I'm concerned about this game, sir.
Well, I'm not concerned because I think I know what the outcome will be.
I'm concerned about the outcome.
I'm concerned about how bad the outcome will be.
Yeah, I mean, let's just go over some little Michigan statistics real quick for what we were sort of talking about before the show. Maybe we'll start on the defense. So, Garrett, what would you think the Michigan defense is ranked?
Well, what would I think?
Or no, what do you know that the Michigan defense is
They're number one overall in total defense. Michigan is number one overall in total defense. And they have also faced the fewest plays on defense of any team this year, which means their offense stays on the field all the time.
Thank you, Garrett. And yes,
so, good luck. Good luck, everybody.
Good luck. Because, this is bad. This is just real bad. So the defense they're looking at is one of the positive things I'm going to say is that they are not a super aggressive defense. They don't get a lot of sacks, and they don't get a lot of tackles for losses. So hopefully Hudson Card makes it out of this alive. What they do really well, though, Garrett, is pick the ball off. They have 11 interceptions this year. It's 10th in the nation. And they've returned four of those for touchdowns.
Yeah. Jesus. What's the team with the most amount of pick sixes right now? Do you know?
I believe that is Michigan. I believe that is Michigan. And three of those are all by the same dude. And let me look at his name again real quick.
We're just like you, everybody. We have to remind ourselves of all these names that come and go every year.
So many names. Plus, I used to teach high school, and like, I had to learn all of those names.
Dude, I don't even remember some of my cousins' names.
Yeah. So for me, not remembering. Now I don't even remember whose name I'm looking up.
We're looking for the guy with three touchdowns on pick sixes.
Oh, the guy with three touchdowns on pick sixes. He's really good because he played wide receiver for 4 years, and then he decided to go ahead and give corner a try this year, I guess. His name is Mike Sainersteel. So he plays the nickel slot back for Michigan, and he's just picking everything off. Two of his interceptions are for return for touchdowns of over 70 yards. So like, not only is he picking off passes, he's running. He's like picking off passes in the red zone and then taking them back for touchdowns. And that gives me nightmares because I feel like at least one Hudson card pass has his name on it.
Well, and like, also just to say from like a schematic football standpoint, like a guy that you converted from wide receiver to defensive back, he's already got the vision to see the lanes. Like if that guy's picking off the ball, like he is the type of guy who can take it from the 22-yard line to the house. So, kudos to him for being a really good football player, but I don't look forward to seeing what he's going to possibly do.
I mean, that's kind of wild, though, right, Garrett? Like, can you think of another example of a guy that's played one position, like, pretty much his entire career, and then, like, switches over his last year, is actually really good at the new position?
Not in his last year, certainly not. I mean, not in recent memory, and I've been pretty glued to college football since I was a kid, so.
The only person I can think of, I don't remember if you remember Tennessee's running back, his last name was Hurd, he played...
Jalen Hurd?
Yeah, Jalen Hurd, he played over Kamara when he was at Tennessee, yeah. And then he transferred to Baylor and ended up playing tight end. And, you know, Purdue's had a couple quarterbacks convert to safety late in their career. I remember Rob Henry did that, and there's a few other, I think, better examples.
But certainly not with, like, that level of production.
No, not with that level of production. That was...
That's just ridiculous.
So, yeah, that's a lot. And so, like, Michigan has, like, just nothing but, like, 4- and 5-star guys. And then, like, also a converted wide receiver is also awesome. I don't even feel like that's fair. I feel like those players should be reserved for Purdue, and they can just keep their fancy 4- and 5-star guys, and we should get all of the star wide receiver defensive back converts.
I would agree with that, because I think it would behoove the team that we root for.
So. It would, and I feel like the universe is unfair in this regard, and I am...
Don't you guys want, like, cool engineering degrees?
I'm filing protest over Michigan just finding incredible players, because they also just, like, pick them, and they also get to find them? No, sir. That's not allowed. So anyways, yes, Michigan's defense is amazing. They are just shutting everybody down. Minnesota's the only team that has scored more than, that has broke 10 points.
Yeah, nobody's scored more than single digits on on Michigan, except for Minnesota.
And they lost that game 52-10. Meanwhile, Purdue has the 95th ranked offense in the nation, and just hemorrhages turnovers. Garrett, tell me something good. Make me feel less sad inside.
At this point, you really just have to think, like, okay, Michigan, they're not a very aggressive defense because they don't really have to be. You know, let's be honest.
Right.
Let's be honest here. They don't really have to be an aggressive defense. So, you know, maybe we catch him sleeping. Uh-huh. We get a nice wheel route. We get a nice, dude, I'd love a wheel route. That'd be hilarious.
Wheel route to Tracy, you think?
I'd say Tracy. Tracy would be a great wheel route option. All
right.
But maybe catch him sleeping, get like a couple highlights in there, and then like give some dudes some reason to be hype for the rest of the season. Because let's be honest, it doesn't look like Purdue's going to be bowl eligible at this point. That's a really nice way of saying it.
This man needs to go to Las Vegas.
I should have gotten a law degree. I have a great way of spinning very negative facts to make them look not so negative. But it doesn't look like Purdue's going to be bowl eligible.
It certainly does not.
I mean, like, dude, just get some guys, like, comfortable in what their roles going forward will be. I think, you know, it sucks to think about it this way, but for the rest of the season, I mean, like, you gotta look at the guys who are gonna be here for a few years, and you wanna get them comfortable in what their role going forward will be. I think Michigan, we can catch sleeping a few times to where, you know, Hudson Card can extend a play. We get a nice, like, little out route that should be an 8-yard gain, but ends up being like maybe a 25-yard gain, or who knows, they slip past one or two guys in the secondary and it goes for a touchdown. I don't know. I think at this point, we really just need to be looking forward to how can we get guys comfortable in what they should be doing for a conceivably 8-4 team in 2024.
Here's my vision, Garrett. I feel like this is the only way it works. The NCAA suspends Michigan before the game.
I mean, if you guys want me to, guys want me to get a Central Michigan jersey and some sunglasses and hang out on the sidelines.
So here's the deal. Hey, Ryan Walters, I live in Athens, so if y'all need like sideline video of Georgia to prepare to play them in the national championship game in an upcoming season. Don't Venmo me, though, please. Don't do that. Send me some money in the mail.
I mean, like, a digital paper trail at this point is as bad as a regular paper trail. And while we're talking about it, I just have to bring up the brilliant line by Kirby Smart, where somebody said at a Kirby Smart press conference, "Was there anything that led you to believe that Michigan was stealing signs? And when Georgia beat the absolute crap out of Michigan," he said, "there is nothing about that game that would lead me to believe that they stole signs from us." Is cold-blooded. That is player haters ball.
Let me tell you what, Kirby is in his bag these days. I feel like that man is walking around with his chest puffed out.
Man, Kirby knows how to cheat and Jim Harbaugh doesn't.
That's probably very, very true. I'll tell you, my wife was walking by the, walking by the Georgia practice fields last week on Monday or Tuesday, and she called me and was like, "You gotta listen to this." And let me tell you, apparently the Georgia defense was not performing up to the expected standard of intensity for the Florida week, and they were being informed of that in a very uncouth manner.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have ever heard Kirby Smart have a leaked halftime, let's say, pep talk.
Ooh.
They are very vulgar. Like, I talk like a sailor in my personal life. Kirby is on a different level. Let's get back to Purdue.
Okay, back to Purdue. I'm trying to ease the pain with like colorful anecdotes.
Yeah, just like telling stories, being buds. Boiler up, down south, BUDS.
All right, so on offense, Michigan. They're not as good on offense as they are on defense. But that being said, their quarterback currently has the second best odds to win the Heisman.
They also don't really need to be.
And J.J. McCarthy is, I mean, they haven't been tested yet. They haven't played a great schedule. Purdue's going to be the most aggressive defense they've played this season. Maybe Skorton and Jenkins get in there and mess with him a little bit, maybe get a strip sack or something. I think that's our best chance of scoring.
Well, and I also have to say, and we have mentioned this before, like, sure, the Ohio State game was trash in terms of the result. However, it proves a lot in terms of the confidence of the defense that Ryan Walters trusted these guys to be in man coverage against guys like Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't see why he won't trust them against Michigan as well. And I think this would be another game where Purdue looks very solid on defense, but the offense just probably won't be able to really get it done. And, you know, what can you say beyond that, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, and if we're going to play man coverage, that's Roman Wilson is the guy for Michigan. Leads the Wolverines in receptions. He's got 27. Reads in a yards with 446 in touchdowns. He has a staggering number of touchdowns. This man is a touchdown magnet. Garrett, how many touchdowns do you think he has? We're turning this into a quiz show to up the suspense.
I think he's got 11, right?
10. 10. Wow. And you went over, sir.
Dude, I one-upped him on his estimate.
That's poor Price is Right wagering.
Bum, bum, ba, bum.
R.I.P. Bob Barker. Yeah, so that Markievicz might be able to cover him in the slot, follow him around. They also have a really a tight end that they A.J. Barner is a Michigan an Indiana transfer.
Boo.
He had 8 catches for 99 yards and a touchdown against Michigan State in a breakout performance. And so it'll be interesting to see if they look to the big man over the middle at any again in this game. I think Purdue did a pretty decent job in coverage on tight ends for the most part. Kane is a pretty physical defender, and Allen, for all of his problems, maybe with some tackling, has the speed to keep up. So, you know, maybe Purdue hurries the offense a little bit. That's sort of my best, like, to keep this thing under the beats, this beating the spread. Like,
I hate to use this term, but I think it's like trying to catch him off guard.
Yeah, really? I mean, that's what I'm hoping. Just Jenkins and Scorton off the edge. I tell you what, those two guys could play for Michigan. They're two of the best outside linebackers as far as pass rushers in the nation. And all of the sort of statistics back that up. So, I mean, that's got to be it. JJ, they've got to put JJ McCarthy under pressure and make him use his receivers who, you know, after Wilson, haven't done a ton. Make them beat Purdue. They can't let Blake Corum beat them. Because nothing, the easiest play in football is just to turn around and hand the ball off to your running back and let your offensive lineman just mash people. And
their offensive line is pretty good.
Yeah, and they can do that with Blake Corum. And, you know, problem with Corum too is Purdue sometimes is a little lackadaisical in their keeping their run lanes, and Corum's the guy, man. If you lose contain, he's gone. Like, he's one of those guys that can't take it the distance on you. Dude can get up and go. He has slowed down a little bit this year from sort of his
post-injury.
I think he's only averaging 5.5 yards a carry. Oh, my.
Only 5.5.
My goodness. Oh.
God, Michigan, you have it so bad.
Jeez. Oh, 5.5 yards a carry. But that's, you know, down from almost 6 last year and 6.5 the year before that. So, you know, Corum is an issue. He's a shifty back. And then they've got Edwards, and he killed Purdue last season in the Big Ten championship game. Just absolutely steamrolled the Boilermakers.
Well, and that's, and going back to Corum real quick, that's where Purdue's secondary really needs to be tight and cohesive, because, like, man, if he makes one guy, he makes one corner, one safety miss, he's gone.
Yeah.
Like, he's got that, like, he, like, afterburner speed. Like, he's not, like, quick off the line necessarily, as some backs are. But once he gets going, dude, he's fast as, let's say, the Dickens.
Dickens. Ooh, the Dickens.
The Dickens.
Fast as the Dickens. Yes, he has 13 touchdowns on the year.
That's a lot. That's a lot of
touchdowns. 111 carries. Donovan Edwards is not having the breakout year I think many people expected him to have after
he would have
just trampled Purdue in the Big Ten Championship game since Corum was out. He has 66 carries, 211 yards, only averaging like 3.2 a carry, and has a touchdown. They're using him more out of the backfield as a receiver, where he does have 21 receptions for 184 yards. But the Michigan receiving group doesn't scare me as much as the Michigan offensive line and running backs.
Yeah, they don't have a guy that really stands out as, like, even for Michigan, like, they're used to having, like, top three round draft pick tight end, and they don't really even have that right now. They don't really have, like, a big, lengthy sideline deep threat. They don't terrify me in the receiving core.
So here's the question then, Garrett. If you're Ryan Walters, I think there's two choices in this game on offense. And there's two ways to play this. One is just to be uber conservative on defense. It would be to just, you know, play your five-man front, keep the safeties back, make Michigan prove they can run into that, you know, six-man box with Karloftis at middle linebacker, and just hope that Corum doesn't bust anything big. Or do you get aggressive, spin Kane down into the box, or even have Washington in there, put seven, maybe eight in the box, man across the board, and see what and die the quick way. I feel like you're either dying the slow way with letting the offensive line and Corum mash you for four quarters, or you're dying the quick way with McCarthy just hitting you with touchdowns over the top. Which way do you think Walters is going to play it?
I don't know which way he's going to play it, but I can tell you, like, what, how I would play it.
How would you play it?
I'd kind of go more conservative in the first half and try to contain, and then kind of go with, like, that all-out, like, stack it up, like you were saying, like, the 7-8 man up at the front, and if things are going relatively well at that point, like, might as well just go all-out defensively, you know? I think also, if you keep it at a level point around halftime and then you get more aggressive on defense, like, I think Purdue's offense is more suited for a shootout than they are, you know, sort of like possession conservative game offensively. I mean, like, how do you feel about that? Like,
I don't think Purdue's offense is suitable for trash can.
Well, that's fair.
So here's my thought, Garrett, and here's what I'm going to throw out there. I think that Purdue's offense can't score on Michigan. But, so here's why I'm going to say on defense.
You're going to go all aggressive.
I'm going all aggressive. I'm coming up. I'm keeping two linebackers. I'm spinning that extra safety into the box. I'm putting eight-man box. We're going man across the board. And because I think the only way Purdue wins is if we can turn J.J. McCarthy over. And I think the only way we're going to be able to do that is getting either to him with the rush, which I think is our strength, with Kydren Jenkins and Scorton coming off the edges, and maybe we're playing a little tighter man, give them enough time, see if they can get in, disrupt McCarthy, maybe our corners pick off some things, maybe we get some strip sacks. I think that's the only way we stay in the game, because I feel like if we play conservative, it's going to be something like 12-play Michigan drive, kickoff, 3-and-out, 12-play Michigan drive, kickoff, 3-and-out, and like, that's my sort of fear of where Purdue just gets stomped. But,
well, when you say it like that, now I just want a whole bunch of corner blitzes that result in strip sacks.
Right,
when they're at like their own 18-yard line, something like that.
It's a tough call. I mean, it's a tough call. I'm sure what we'll get from Ryan Walters is a blend of, appropriate aggression. I don't think he will, go sell out.
Yeah, I don't think he's saying... pardon my French, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead, but I can see him trying to balance that. It's also very hard for a first year head coach. You know, you've never really been in this position. You got a lot of turnover.
I mean, you're playing just
personnel. You're going to the what's Michigan ranked in the CFP?
Three.
I mean, you're going to the number three CFP team on the road at night.
And you're just trying to figure out, like, a way forward. And I don't know if, like, I guess I don't even know. I'm sure he doesn't either. Like, what do you do in this situation? Do you play to try to win the game knowing that that is most likely going to result in you getting absolutely annihilated? Or do you play to keep it close?
I feel at this point there's not much to lose, right? So,
right, like, I mean, I don't know.
I can see him going hyper-aggressive just for laughs and giggles, but...
See, here's what I'm worried about, Garrett. I am worried that weirdo Coach Harbaugh has his khakis in a bunch after his rather... tumultuous week and
set of weeks,
and he's very upset, and I'm worried that they might lay an epic beating on Purdue. He might not call off the dogs, so I think, like I said, I'm of two minds. Aggressive if you think you've got the slightest shred of a chance. Otherwise, run that clock, baby. Don't get beat by 70. Oh,
I don't want to think about 70, but yeah.
I mean, we don't want to think about 70, but listen to these scores. So this is how Michigan's been doing here recently. Start of the season, only hung 30 on East Carolina. The East Carolina
Pirates.
The Pirates. Shout out David Garrard.
One of my neighbors was a punter for the East Carolina Pirates. Ooh, growing up.
I think I had a second cousin that went to East Carolina, if I remember correctly.
Yarg.
And so they only gave up 30 points, and they scored 3 points, which is not terrible. They lost by 27. UNLV, they played UNLV 35. UNLV gave up 35 points.
I mean, like, if the fighting Guy Fieri's only scored that many.
Jerry Tarkanian couldn't get it taken care of. God, Tark, I'm telling you, Tark was born way too early, because that man would be a coaching legend in NIL college basketball. Like, oh my God. Could you imagine him at UNLV and it's legal to, like, buy players? Whew. Anyways, sorry, I keep getting distracted by more interesting thoughts. They only scored 31 on Bowling Green, 31 on Rutgers, and then they started getting angry here right around conference. Maybe they forgot Rutgers was in the Big Ten. I do that all the time.
Some people frequently do.
My uncle coached the offensive line at Rutgers, and they were pretty good. That was when they had the Oh, I can't remember his name. He played quarterback in the NFL for a while for the Jets. Ray something.
I don't recall.
Anyways, yeah, shout out Uncle Mark. He's also the associate AD. Anyways, yeah, they got mad after the Nebraska game and or after the Rutgers game and put up 45 on Nebraska, 52 on Minnesota, 52 on Indiana, and 49 on Michigan State.
Yeah, so I'm just really hoping they don't hang half a hundred on Purdue. I think they can. I think we all know they can. Let's just hope they don't.
I think it's going to take a lot of help from Purdue's offense for them to just get to 60. And man, this is... So anyway, say, look, Garrett, let's just for 2 seconds here. Zach Edey's the returning national player of the year.
Correct.
And Purdue's ranked in the top 5 in the nation in every national poll right now.
Also correct.
Okay, now back to football. There's no way forward in this game. I recommend that if you get upset watching Purdue get splattered all over the field, this is one of those games where I might just, like, find something else to do, maybe check the score at halftime, and, you know, if Purdue's hanging in, then maybe go to the stat, because I think if things upset you like that, you're really just putting yourself in a bad place. For instance, this Clemson-Notre Dame game this weekend, Garrett, I'm probably just gonna maybe glance at the score every now and then. That's fine.
If Clemson ends up 4-5 after this weekend, I will have to do a little giggle.
It's fine. It's just well deserved. Well deserved.
Hey, I bought this man a Clemson hat.
He did. And a hoodie. So Garrett is not a hater.
And I got a hat for his daughter, too. Well, like, come on.
He did.
Come on. I love to hate, but at the end of the day, I just love that people love sports as much as I do.
That's very true. That's very true. Nobody loves sports as much as Garrett. At least nobody whose mind is very much like a steel trap for numbers, which is weird. In numbers and names and dates, the man is like an encyclopedia.
Ask me Dennis Rodman's weirdest stat line.
Yeah, what's Dennis Rodman's like weirdest stat line?
I was born in San Antonio, so when he played for the Spurs, he scored 0 points but had 32 rebounds.
0 points, 32 rebounds.
The greatest rebounder in NBA history ever.
You know, all over...
Once we get into basketball season, baby, you guys are going to see like how weird my brain is and how I like... hyper focus on numbers and stuff.
He's
like
get
ready for it, because it's gonna be unhinged, and most of the time I'm gonna be recording these after I've been working soundboards at a music venue for several hours, so I'm gonna be a little loopy anyway.
Woo.
You guys are gonna like find out so many weird trivia facts, and God, I just can't wait for you guys to explore my weird number brain.
Oh man, yeah, just, you know, we're not responsible for whatever that maybe does to your brain.
Yeah,
exposed to Garrett's brain.
If either of us accidentally give you ADHD, that's not like, let's go ahead and set up a legal disclaimer for that.
Yeah,
that's not our fault.
All right, but anyways, Garrett, speaking of ADHD, I think we should just end this preview. I think we will return next week. We will talk a little bit about this Michigan game, and we will find some positive things to say about Purdue's performance. And by God, Garrett, if Purdue pulls off his upset, I will grovel and apologize to all of you for being such a negative Nancy.
Well, last thing, though, just give me a score line. What do you think?
41-3.
41-3? Okay. I'm saying 52-13.
Ooh, okay. So Purdue scores more points on them than any other team on their schedule so far.
Well, I think it happens in garbage time, but yeah.
Hey, garbage time is...
It's still time. All right. Y'all come back now. You hear? Thanks for listening to Boiler Up Downstyle.